Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Tyler Matthew Johns. First, I'll start with the timeline of the alleged crime, then move to my analysis. On Friday, November 14, 2025, at about 7:30 a.m., Tyler Matthew Johns was driving west on I-215 near Gibson Road in Henderson, Nevada. He was in a blue Hyundai Elantra sedan. A man named Valenti Alaya was also driving in the same direction on that interstate. He was in a black Chevrolet Traverse SUV. In the back seat of his vehicle was his 11-year-old stepson, Brandon Dominguez, who Valente was taking to school. Tyler and Valente became involved in some type of road rage incident and started jockeying for position on the roadway. Eventually, they rolled down their windows and screamed at each other. Tyler produced a pistol and fired one shot into the back seat of the Traverse. The bullet struck Brandon in the head. After this, Valente rammed Tyler's Elantra, and the two vehicles came to a stop in the middle of the interstate. Both men exited their vehicles and engaged in a heated argument. A few witnesses also stopped. Valente flagged down a Las Vegas police officer who just happened to be driving by. Valente approached the officer and screamed, "My kid is dead." Tyler also approached the officer. Without being prompted, he turned around and placed his hands behind his back as if inviting the officer to place him under arrest. He said, "I shot at him, bro. I didn't know there was a blanking kid in the back, and I killed him." The officer handcuffed him and placed him in his police pickup truck. While seated in that vehicle, Tyler said, "It's 100% my fault. I shot at him. I didn't know that he had a kid in the car." The scene was chaotic. Only the one officer was there, and he was trying to manage everything to the best of his ability. Valente was hysterical. At one point, he was on the pavement screaming and crying. When the officer checked on Tyler in the back of the police pickup truck, Tyler asked, "Is there a chance that the kid will be okay?" Tyler also wanted to send a text message to his boss, letting him know that he wouldn't be making it in today. As it turns out, a more accurate message would have been, "He won't be making it in ever." Brandon was pronounced dead at the scene. Tyler was charged with first-degree murder and discharging a firearm into a vehicle. In a move that caused some outrage, the Clark County District Attorney's Office declined to charge Valente with child endangerment, saying that his behavior did not meet the legal threshold. On November 18, 2025, 4 days after the fatal shooting, Tyler appeared in court for a bail hearing. His attorney argued that Valente had been driving recklessly. This caused Tyler to raise his pistol. Tyler never intended to shoot anyone. Rather, he was trying to deter Valente and make him stop. The attorney argued that Valente was driving on the shoulder and Tyler never left his lane. Valente swerved twice as if trying to ram Tyler, and Tyler only fired when Valente did this for a third time. Tyler did not have an intent to kill, which is why he shot into the back seat of the Traverse instead of into the front seat where Valente was seated. Based on how Valente was driving recklessly, Tyler did not imagine that he had a child in the back seat. That never would have occurred to him. The lead detective on the case was called to testify. She stated that there were 6 witnesses in total, 4 at the original scene and 2 who came forward later. One of these witnesses said that he encountered Tyler a few moments prior to the shooting. The witness was on southbound Interstate 11 trying to merge onto westbound Interstate 215, where Tyler was. Tyler swerved in front of him to prevent him from merging. The witness simply found another place to merge onto the interstate. At this point, the witness saw Valente's SUV. Tyler did the same thing to Valente, swerved to prevent him from merging. Valente sped up and ended up a few vehicles ahead of Tyler, but Valente still had not merged. At this point, there were several witnesses who saw what happened. They said that Tyler appeared to be watching Valente to see where he would be attempting to merge. Tyler sped up and moved right next to Valente. Their two vehicles were side by side. Both men rolled down their windows, and there was a verbal exchange. Tyler produced a firearm and fired a single shot into Valente's SUV. After the shooting, Tyler made multiple lane changes and moved in front of Valente. At this point, Valente rammed his Chevrolet Traverse into Tyler's Hyundai Elantra. The detective said that Valente did this to prevent Tyler from fleeing the scene. Tyler's defense attorney questioned the detective. He asked her about a man with a tattoo who allegedly approached Valente and said, "What were you doing? This is your fault." The judge denied bail for Tyler, citing the dangerousness of his behavior. Tyler's next court appearance is scheduled for December 4, 2025. Now moving to my analysis. Tyler Matthew Johns maintains his innocence. His attorney argued that Tyler never meant to kill anybody, and this was not a first-degree murder case. The state of Nevada, of course, disagrees. They argue that Tyler was the aggressor, and he used deadly force. This brings me to the question, is Tyler guilty of first-degree murder? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that he is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. One witness stated that Tyler tried to prevent him from merging onto the interstate. This occurred prior to the interaction between Tyler and Valente. If this is true, then Tyler was antagonistic. He was looking for trouble and provoking people on the interstate. When Tyler encountered Valente, he allegedly tried to prevent him from merging as well. The confrontation was provoked by Tyler. Valente may not have handled it well, but he did not commit a crime. Tyler produced a weapon and fired into Valente's SUV. This is what caused the death of Brandon. During the confrontation, Valente was unarmed. There was no weapon on his person and no weapon in his SUV. After the officer was flagged down, Tyler pretty much confessed to murder, even saying that he was 100% at fault. He turned around and invited the officer to arrest him, much like a guilty person might do. Now moving to the exculpatory factors, Valente may not have committed a crime, but his behavior was inappropriate. He screamed expletives at Tyler in both English and Spanish. Expletives in even one language could be considered provocation. Furthermore, the defense argued that Valente swerved at Tyler twice. If this is true, then Valente definitely provoked a confrontation and may have placed Tyler in fear for his life. The bullet fired by Tyler entered the back seat of the SUV. This supports the theory that Tyler was not aiming at Valente. There was no intent to kill. The bullet struck and killed Brandon, but Tyler did not know Brandon was there. The windows of the SUV were tinted. When considering all the evidence available so far in this case, do I believe that Tyler is guilty of first-degree murder? In my opinion, he is guilty of second-degree murder. There was no premeditation. Rather, Tyler acted with a reckless disregard for human life. A lot more evidence will come out in this case, so there's no way to know for certain. But as of right now, the state may have trouble proving that Tyler intended to kill. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Many motorists are poor drivers as far as their technical skill and their attitude. One particularly frustrating experience for substandard drivers is when vehicles are merging onto a highway. When everybody is moving quickly, it is usually not a problem. But when traffic is at a standstill, inferior drivers become irritated. They don't like the idea of a vehicle merging in front of them because they feel like the other vehicle is taking something that belongs to them. The poor drivers believe they own all the roadways. They are not sharing them with anyone. Rather, they are in possession of the road itself. Every other car in traffic is their enemy, is trying to beat them, is slowing them down. They act like they are the only person who has any legitimate need to use the road. Whatever they're doing is more important than what other people are doing. These awful drivers find themselves suffering from road rage, which leads to frequent confrontations with other motorists. They yell expletives, drive erratically, and may even make threats. Some of these drivers carry weapons, which is something they should not do because clearly they have an anger problem. I think this is what happened here with Tyler. He knew, or should have known, that he did not have the temperament to possess a weapon. On the day of the incident, he provoked Valente by trying to prevent him from merging. The men screamed at each other, and the confrontation escalated. Tyler decided to shoot at Valente's vehicle, but did not realize there was somebody in the back seat. After realizing that he killed Brandon, Tyler confessed to the murder. It seems likely he will be convicted of a serious crime, although maybe not first-degree murder. Valente was also a substandard and angry driver whose behavior contributed to the tragic outcome, but not to the level where he violated the law. Something can be technically legal and still very unwise. The best move for Valente was to de-escalate and disengage, because a bad driver never knows when he will encounter an even worse driver. Now moving to my final thoughts. Throughout the many cases I've covered involving violence based on anger, a pattern has emerged. Impulsive individuals rarely put safeguards in place to mitigate the damage caused by their behavior. If a person knows they have a tendency to become violent, they should never carry a weapon. Yet, offenders often do. The decision to carry a firearm should be taken very seriously. It is a massive responsibility that carries the power to defend life, but also to destroy life. There are many people who should never even own a gun, much less carry one around with them as they interact with other people. If a person is thinking about concealed carry, they must consider if they have a compatible temperament. If someone provokes them, will they retreat? Will they avoid provoking others no matter what? Will they always be the nicest person in any interaction in public? If they can't answer yes to all three questions, concealed carry is not for them. In all likelihood, Tyler will be spending a lot of time in prison. A first-degree murder conviction could put him in prison for life without the possibility of parole. A second-degree murder conviction might place him in prison for 20 to 50 years. He will regret pulling the trigger for the rest of his life, regardless of the sentence. Even running under the assumption that his anger problem was immutable, which it wasn't, he could have prevented all this by not carrying a firearm. It's amazing how the most impulsive and dangerous people never seem to question their own judgment or restraint. Those are my thoughts in the case of Tyler Matthew Johns. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.